Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 716-489-3, or you can email me if you're feeling a little radio shy at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I want to wish all of our listeners a pleasant holiday season. As you know, when we embark upon this time of year, it's really hard for our women, and that's why I say reach out for support. I have a very large support network of women who are willing to support you. Listen to these radio shows, and you know, whatever it takes to get through this holiday, I'm going to be there for you. You just have to reach out and ask for help. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-host for tonight, our very favorite doctor in the house, Dr. Brian Hooper. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Bonnie. How you doing, hon?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for always being there for us every month. You know, you're the most dependable man that we know.
Well, thank you.
What do you think of that?
I'm honored to be there. I really am.
Yeah, we can depend on you. We can count on you, Brian. You're always there to tell the truth and to make our women feel better.
Good.
And this is a really tough season for women. I always say starting around Thanksgiving. I've heard from a few of our women the last few days, very upset. And I say that holidays are a time that, you know, they're a constant trigger for all these problems that you're going through to be reminded of them. Would you say that's really the case, more so than other times of the year?
I think for folks who are not having troubles in their lives, these can be tough times. The holidays can be. I mean, there's so much that we put on them in terms of expectations, and a lot of that comes from our past, you know, so it can be a real challenge. I think it's important to be gentle with ourselves during this season, especially when there are tough things that have been going on in people's lives. Be gentle.
I know. It's really, I think, the hardest season. It starts from Thanksgiving. I always say it's Thanksgiving till February, because you have to get past Thanksgiving, you have to get through Christmas, you have to get through the New Year's, and then you have Valentine's Day. I like to say that's the wrap-up of it. Like, you don't have to feel too bad about President's Day. That's not going to really have a big effect on you. But, you know, up until Valentine's Day, all these reminders of love and family unity and everything that you don't have or you're not living with, whether you're in the marriage or out of the marriage, you know, so many women, especially in their early years post-marriage, they feel so abandoned and alone during holidays where families are used to getting together.
Sure.
Especially now if you're splitting the family, the children have to go, you know, back and forth, or they're on visitation holidays when you're alone. It's a really tough time for women. So I was wondering, what suggestions do you have, Brian, for women going through this?
Well, let's start with the first thing that I said was be gentle with yourself, you know. Notice the feelings that you're feeling inside. And instead of, you know, judging yourself for those feelings, just be curious about them and sit with them. And sometimes it's helpful to have a conversation with yourself and ask, you know, what's going on? What is this about? And then after we've done that for a bit, ask, do I want to stay in this place? In other words, emotionally, do I really want to stay here? And if not, what can I do to move to something else? Where can I shift my focus that will be more homemaking for me, where I can have a sense of connection with people who do care for me, rather than focusing on the ones who have disappointed me? I think that's one really important place to begin. What do you think about that?
I think it is. I mean, one of the things that we've always talked about before is making new traditions. You know, traditions have to be restarted all over again, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. That can be something really good.
And
I think that a lot of times we romanticize about these past holidays. I think that a lot of times people are thinking about, you know, they're pinpointing like a good moment, but in general, their lives weren't necessarily that great. And I think that you have to be real about it too, instead of the fantasy.
Exactly. Yep.
Do you find people do that?
Oh, I think absolutely they do that. And that's where I say, you know, listen to what's going on inside and have a conversation with yourself about that. Yes, there was a good moment with him, or two, or three. But when you look at it, even in the best of those moments, when a straight woman is married to a gay man, there was an underlying deception going on. And it's important to acknowledge that and recognize that even though there's disappointment now, there's also freedom now, the freedom to not have to deal with that kind of, you know, sense of ongoing betrayal, and the opportunity to move on.
I tell women, the fact that you can go to bed when you want and wake up and not feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time.
Oh, yes.
You know, my life in the beginning was so exhausting, raising two children and working, you know, working with that, with two, you know, I had an infant 3 months old and a daughter 2 years old. I had absolutely no money. I was, you know, I had a GED at that time. I had no education. And I was living under a very oppressive situation. But as hard as it was, once my ex-husband left the household, calm set in. And even though I really struggled financially, you know, I still had that peace of mind that I didn't have somebody yelling at me and criticizing me. Because when gay men live in a marriage to a straight woman, they're not happy. Because
that's
this
right.
is not the way they were meant to live. They're leading a life that's not really theirs to live, right?
And they start to project onto the woman all the anger and disappointment they really have with themselves.
You think it's really anger with themselves or just angry that they're in the situation?
Well, angry that they're in the situation that they're in, yeah. But
I don't think they realize that they put themselves
about,
in there.
It's not about, it's not what the woman has done. It's what they've gotten themselves into. But
so
they project that that's the point that, you know, the women end up bearing the brunt of this, and then they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be very confusing and very disappointing, and it can, you know, as you well know, can attack their self-esteem. What am I doing wrong? Well, they're not doing anything wrong. They're just with the wrong person.
I think it's really interesting. I tell women that when you're sitting there, and this happens so much, that, you know, when women are sitting and trying to negotiate within their own minds, how can I get my husband to want me? How could I get him to desire me? How can I get him to touch me?
Mm-hmm.
When you have to sit and manipulate all these things in your head to get a man to touch you, I think that's an issue to start with. But I always say that these men are working just as hard. You're both thinking about sex, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it starts preoccupying your mind because you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And just as much as you're thinking about how to have him have sex with you, he's thinking just that hard also of, uh-oh, how do I get out of having sex with her?
Right.
I mean, it seems to me like they're both on the same target of thinking about sex, but one wants it while the other's figuring out how not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's like, you know, the longer I stay doing this, the more stories that I hear and the sadder I feel because I see the waste of life on both parts, you know, for the
right.
gay man who's wasting his time in a marriage where he doesn't belong.
Right.
And for the straight wife who's missing that puzzle piece of why her marriage is falling apart.
Yes,
which,
exactly.
you know, has nothing to do with her, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So do you have some advice for women?
With regard to?
Everything.
Everything. Well, so, you know, as we're talking about getting through the holidays, what you say about making new memories or new traditions, I think is important. And if there was something that from the past that was important, you can do it in a new way with in a new place with some new people. You can keep what's important to you. You know, so if going to religious services is important for somebody, maybe they don't go back to the place where they were with their ex. They go someplace that's a new place where they can have not be preoccupied with that. I think that's a way to be able to keep one's tradition but move on and make it a new tradition.
That's a really great idea.
I did have one thing on my mind, and that was the way that I noticed with the men that I work with, some, and this is really the case, some feel so badly about what they've gotten themselves into and what they're doing with their wives that they want to be very cooperative and they seek to do things amicably. But others, noticed, man, they are preparing 6 ways to Sunday to take care of themselves. And what I want to say to women, if you're just beginning to deal with, a gay husband, do everything you can to take care of yourself. That doesn't mean you have to be hostile or anything like that, but you need to think about not how to fix him because you're not going to. You're not going to change him. He is who he is. You really do need to give thought to how to take care of yourself. And how to take care of your children if they're part of the scene. You need to get really good, solid legal advice to know what your rights are. And don't give everything away. Make sure you take care of yourselves. That's one of the things that was on my mind this week, Bonnie.
And I think that women have a hard time grasping that at first because they're really trying to hold on to a broken marriage.
Yeah.
They're bargaining, they're negotiating, they're looking for every which way to make this marriage work. And it's just something that's not going to be happening unless you're willing to make lots of compromises on your end and try to live in a marriage that isn't a traditional type of a marriage. Because what's the reality of a gay man not acting on his sexuality while he's married to a woman, in your opinion, Brian?
Well, I think it's very, very slim that he's not going to. I think it's almost a given that he will. I mean, I've only met very few. I can think of one of my clients who wasn't with a man until after she decided she didn't want to be with him. But I think that's very, very rare. So I would make the presumption that he has been with somebody. And do everything you need to take care of yourself in every way, physically, health-wise, as well as financially and relationally with other people that you care about. Are you there, Bonnie?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear
Brian?
You now. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I can hear you now.
That. I think that so many women are convinced that their husbands, once they, you know, tell them, well, I don't have to do it, you know, I don't have to act on it. I want the marriage to stay together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can work around this and, you know, I can just put that to the side. And the women are so desperate to believe it that they're willing to spend more time in this marriage that can just never really happen.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's important to say, you know, sometimes the women have to have the courage for the man. And we know this. They're often the ones that have to say to the man, I know what's going on, you know, so let's take care of this and move on, meaning, you know, go our separate ways. There are a number of things that we've talked about before that cause a gay man to want to stay married. The perception of the world around them, his place in the community, depending on the kind of community that he's in. But there's nothing that's worth really staying with somebody who shouldn't have been married to you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to kill both people, and it's going to kill their spirit is what I mean by that.
It is. Like, for instance, you know, I just received a letter last week from a gentleman who I've, you know, spent some time working with to help him unravel the pieces. And I hadn't heard from him for about 2 months. You know, he was writing to me pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And he dropped me a note. And I said to him, I haven't heard from you. How's everything going? And he says, everything's been going well so far. I decided not to go through with it because my family means everything to me. I couldn't imagine putting my kids through that kind of thing, even though it might have ultimately made me happier. However, things have been working out with me and my wife, and I'm hoping to do things that things will get better in time. You know, it's the hardest decision I ever had to make, but something told me that it's the right decision. I guess I'll see what happens in the future. I'm just going to try to make the best of everything that I have now. And in other words, he just feels that... You know, and he had a boyfriend also who he had to break up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was really, for the first time, he was feeling that he was involved with somebody on an intimate, personal level and loved this man.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they feel they're going to just do more damage to the family and the children. So some people will look at them as heroes and saying, see, they're willing to give up, you know, what's important to them for the sake of the family. But I think it's more complicated than that, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's more complicated than that, too. In other words, how satisfying is this going to be to his wife, you know? Does she want just a roommate, or does she want a husband? And my other concern then for him is this going to turn into a depression because he feels, you know, ultimately stuck in having to stay in this relationship? And if that's the case, then the household becomes depressed because you can't have one depressed person in the household without the whole household kind of suffering from it. which makes him less available and alive to his kids. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, as he says, it'll be interesting to see what happens over time. I'm not real hopeful, personally, from what you've shared with me.
No, you know what it is? I mean, some of these guys, I feel they're just as stuck as some of the women are.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know how to make that move. They're so afraid it's going to mess things up. They're under such pressure. You know, they turn to family or religion or church that they just feel so stuck in the muck. Like our women feel stuck in the muck. You know, and I tell them, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's a sense of discomfort when you have to walk out of something that's familiar to you, where there are children involved, but just existing on an existence basis to me is not a quality of life.
No, no.
But that could be me. I mean, maybe some people, you know, find that to be the better way to do it. But I just don't see it. I mean, have you seen couples who are happy living this way? Because you've been working with some couples.
None that I have met have been happy doing that. And I've had male clients who have thought that they could do it and taken a stab at it and come back and said, no, I can't do this. You know, I cannot continue this. I'm not going to judge this gentleman who's, you know, written to you, Bonnie. I mean, I can't make his decisions for him, and I'm not judging him. I'm just personally concerned. You know, for
right,
well,
and I'm not either. And I said to him, "Look, I'm not pushing you anywhere. I tell people make your own decisions.
Right.
I'm here to give you support when you make the decision that you need to move on. And I'm happy to work with your wives and getting them to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, I don't have the answer for everybody. I'd like to think I do, but I think that people really have to find out on their own." Because what works for 97% of the people, you may be part of that other 3%.
No.
I mean, there are 3% of people who manage to stay in these marriages. They love the person enough. They're willing to give up their sexual needs. You know, they're willing to be best friends, and that's enough for them in a marriage. I mean, I just don't feel that for me it could ever be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I to tell other people, no, you're not happy?
Right, exactly.
Because when people come to me, for the most part, they're unhappy, so it's usually not that much of a challenge for me.
Right.
I mean, my challenge is more trying to get them to realize for the women that, look, your husbands have now told you that they are gay, and you can't bargain with this. This is who they are. They're not
right.
going to take it
no.
back, and they're not. It's not about
right.
sex. You know, because a lot of women say to me, they're willing to give up a whole family, their whole marriage, just to have some good, sex that they like. And I know that homosexuality, the word sexuality is in there, so it is, you know, about sexuality. But it's not about sex only for
that's
the most
right.
men.
The
and that's
term
not to say
that
like, for some men, they can just get by having, you know, having discreet sex with, you know, somebody they can't even identify. But this is not the way of the world for most men. They want the same kind of relationship that we want with our husbands and can't get, right?
Yeah, I think many of them do. Not all. There are far too many that do only want to have sex, frankly. But many do want to have, you know, real relationships. I think those women who think it's about sex, I would simply say what I find helpful is not is distinguishing between affectional and erotic attraction. They're not separate. They go together, but they're two different things. And what people sometimes forget is that gay men not only have a erotic attraction towards other men, but they also have a sense that in terms of affection, the affection of a man is truly satisfying for them, whereas the affection of a woman, other than in a friendship sense, really feels sort of foreign to them. As foreign as it would be for a straight woman to think about being in love with another woman. It just, it's not there for them. They may love their friends, but they're not falling romantically in love with their friends.
Well, I try to, you know, explain this to women, And I just know that letting go of any relationship is hard. But, you know, the problem here is that a lot of times women still really love their husbands.
Sure.
And, you know, they haven't seen anything to stop making them love them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they have good marriages, because some women actually have good marriages.
Right, right, right. If their perception of it is that it's good, yeah, exactly. And sometimes those very women who perceive that they have a good marriage also have husbands who are behind their backs having an affair with other men. But they're working hard to try to hold it together at home, and then they discover it, right? You've experienced
mm-hmm.
that, witnessed that many times over.
Definitely. But it's like, how much of yourself are you willing to give up in a marriage? And, you know, it's just, like I say, pretty distressing to see how people have to suffer to
mm-hmm.
just cope through life, and they have to take medication. You know how I feel about that. When women have to take medication to cope in a marriage, that really makes me very upset. You know, I think that when you have to change who you are and your thinking patterns just to accept somebody else, whether the person it's a gay, straight relationship or any relationship, I find this to be really a problem, right?
I do, too. Because it's not allowing the woman to be authentic. She's having to kind of mold herself in order to be acceptable to somebody else or to be even tolerated by somebody else. And nobody wants to be tolerated. They want to be loved and adored, and they deserve that. Your women deserve to be loved and adored. And if they're married to a man who's just not capable of doing that because he's gay, then personally I think they need to be free to be able to be open to that with somebody who can be there for them.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of the things that was happening in my support group, because we have our own private support room, is
mm-hmm.
that they were talking about an article that came out with Joe Court.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, which is always a bone of contention for me
yeah.
when he
yeah.
claims that yeah. just because men have gay sex doesn't mean that they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so confusing for women to understand what this is about when you have so-called proclaimed experts
mm-hmm.
who are saying that, you know, just because a man has a gay sexual arousal or, you know, same-sex arousal, this doesn't necessarily mean anything about being gay. If his thinking is primarily straight thinking, which is, you know, the way Joe Court goes on talking about those straight guys, you know, that doesn't, you can't necessarily label him as gay. And don't you think that all these messages are confusing?
Well, what does he mean by straight thinking?
It means that they want to be straight.
Well, if they want to be, you know, I mean, I could want to be a lot of things. It doesn't make me that thing. I am who I am. I am what I am.
Well, he claims that there are men who may have sexual arousal from other men, but that doesn't, you can't label them as being gay if predominantly their personality is a straight personality.
What
if they feel more comfortable living a straight life, you know, these are my straight
uh-huh.
gay men.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, then I would be concerned about wanting to live according to other people's perceptions rather than, in other words, so we're talking about a social construct here. Apparently that's what he's talking about. I haven't read his thing, so I can't say. But what I would be focused on is, well, what turns the man on? Is it the affection and erotic attraction of a woman, or is it the affection and erotic attraction of a man? I mean, that's what I'm going to go by, not how a person wants to be perceived in society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, there's lots of benefits to being perceived as straight, more than there are as being perceived as gay right now in the development of our world. But I wouldn't want to have to fake it.
Well, he recently wrote on the Huffington. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even having to spend many, many years as a clergyman in a denomination where being gay wasn't accepted, I didn't lie about it, but I really couldn't be me. And that takes a toll. So I couldn't encourage a person to try to be perceived as something that they're not. That's my point.
Right. Well, let me tell you about a column he has that recently now in the Huffington Post that just came out this week. Mm-hmm. And it's called, "Is Your Husband Gay? Don't Be So Sure." Jennifer discovered from her husband Tom's emails that he was meeting Brad for sex. She came to see me, heartbroken, sure that her marriage to her, quote, gay, unquote, husband was doomed. But when I examined Tom, I discovered he wasn't gay. He had been sexually abused by his coach when he was a boy, and his compulsion to have sex with men was a trauma reenactment, which could be eliminated through therapy. Of course, Tom and Jennifer still had to work through the betrayal of his sexual acting out, but his issues did not present a fundamental impediment to the marriage. Had he had been gay, then Tom and Jennifer's challenges would have been much greater. Seeking sex with men does not make a man gay. Sexual orientation is a complex state of being. You aren't gay because you act gay. You are gay because you are gay. When I examine a man who's questioning his sexual orientation, I ask him about childhood abuse and other traumas that can lead straight men to seek sex with men. I've also developed a checklist of characteristics of gay men to help me with that diagnosis. These characteristics go beyond mere sexual acts, and here's a simplified list. 1, the beach test. Gay men see the men on the beach, not the women. 2, youthful noticing. Before puberty, gay boys notice other boys with a kind of giggling delight, just as straight boys do girls. 3, waking up. Straight guys, even those who have sex with men, don't want to wake up next to one. 4, falling in love. A gay man can fall in romantic love with a man. Straight men don't. 5, romantic hopes and dreams with a male partner. After a period of promiscuous gay adolescence, a gay man will yearn to settle down. 6, gay sex not degrading. Straight men sometimes interpret gay sex as humiliating. Gay men find it fundamentally joyful. 7, homophobia. If a gay man is repressing his gay identity, he's often negative about gay people and the, quote, gay lifestyle. Of course, sometimes a questioning man comes to me and turns out he is gay or bi. In this case, marriage between the man and woman is fundamentally complicated and often, but not always, leads to divorce. I've developed a set of guidelines for these couples. See my post, Mixed Orientation Marriages, on my website. Many couples come to see me because the husband's unconventional sexual interests are interpreted as gay. I'm amazed that people continue to believe that an interest in anal sex makes a man gay. Sometimes kinks are acted out as compulsions and need to be addressed by therapy to give the man more control over his impulses, but they usually are not proof that the man is gay. Joel came to me afraid his wife might discover his secret. He was meeting couples to engage in a very specific sex scenes. He wanted to be forced by a woman to watch her make love to her husband, even to help her make love to her husband. But if the woman wasn't there, he wasn't interested. His compulsion for this kink might seem gay because of the man in the room, but in fact, I've never heard of a gay man with this interest. I did help Joel become less compulsive. In his therapy, we uncovered a complex situation in his childhood in which his mother doted on him when his father was absent on business trips but ignored him completely when his father was home. His longing to be included as a child had been sexualized in his psyche as cuckolding kink. I could not cure him of this fantasy. He'll always be aroused by some version of it. What we achieved in therapy was freeing him from the compulsion to act on it. As a result, he didn't need to continue to meet with couples for sex. When a married man and woman come to me for clarity, they end up in three situations. One, the man is acting out of a homosexual behavioral imprinting from childhood, which often fades with therapy. Two, the man is gay or bi, and the couple must decide how to stay together or part because of it. Or three, the man has a kink whose compulsivity may be controlling and ruining his life and the marriage, but through therapy he can learn to manage and moderate it, even though it will never go away entirely. But wait, you want to know if your husband is gay. Without the terror of homophobia clouding our vision with horrendous legal and social consequences, it's relatively easy to determine if a man is gay. He can determine it himself using the simple tools I noted above, beach test, youthful noticing, and so on. Bisexuality is subtler. The best way to tell if a man is bisexual is sit down with him and talk to him about it. One final thought. No one, not even an expert, has the right to tell you to panic and divorce. You most likely understand what you're dealing with better than anyone. You can choose for yourself. It's your future. You have options. And that's it.
Mm. Well, I do agree that everybody has to make their own decisions and nobody else can tell them what to do. That's fine.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you and I have both said that. I think that he calls them kinks. I probably would refer to them as fetishes. I think that's sort of in a category all of its own myself. But I think the vast majority of women who find gay porn on their husband's computers or email correspondence with other men that they're wanting to get together for sex with them, that kind of thing, I think the vast majority of those situations, Bonnie, are not complicated. They're simply gay men who are married to straight women.
Well, I think that's pretty much simplifying it, Brian. And in my opinion, I agree with you 100%. But I'm going back to one of your most famous, important statements that you make all the time. And
yeah,
this is what I tell the women. I quote you.
Mm-hmm.
I quote Dr. Brian Hooper. Tell them what your famous saying is.
Is this what you signed up for?
Exactly. That's the big question of the day. Did you sign up for this?
Yep.
Because you can call it whatever you want. I told you, I don't care what, we don't have to label it. You know, we don't have to call it asexual, bisexual, confused sexual, dysfunction sexual, you know, metrosexual, homosexual. I don't care. But the point is that if your husband is acting out in any of these ways, if he has compulsions because of his mother from when he was 6 years old, and he's taking it out by wanting to have sex with a man sometimes, but he's not really gay, fine, call it what you want, but he's having sex with a man, and is that what you signed up for?
Yeah.
Doesn't that pretty much come down to it?
Pretty much comes down to it for me. I think that these repetition compulsions where men are having sex with men in order to fix something from the past, in my opinion, it's not about necessarily fixing being gay, but about trying to... trying to get a handle on a situation over which somebody had no control. So if it was between, say, a man that was molesting a female when she was younger, she might continue to get together with abusive men trying to, through a repetition compulsion, get some power and control in that situation. But that didn't make her straight by being molested by a gay man when she was younger. So it is, my theory is that a lot of molestation of males who end up being gay is because this is perceived by the abuser and they're seen as an easier mark And it doesn't make them gay. It may be because they're seen as vulnerable and they are taken advantage of when they're children. And then when those men get into situations where they're having anonymous and sometimes rough sex with men, it's because they're trying to get a handle on controlling what was out of their control when they were children.
Mm-hmm. But does it make them gay?
No, it doesn't make them gay. As I was saying, I think oftentimes I'm thinking of one client in particular who he went through this. But he also said that quite apart from that abuse that happened early on, he was attracted to other boys, you know. So I think he was simply, again, taken advantage of by a male. Didn't make him gay.
Right, but when he got older, was he having sexual relations with men?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, but you don't feel that made him gay?
No. I think he was, I think he happened to be abused because he was seen as an easy mark by the one who abused him. But I don't think
mm-hmm.
it made him gay. Yeah.
Okay, well, like I say,
but
I won't,
either
you know,
way,
I prefer not to label people if I don't have to. I mean, if they
right.
prefer not to be called gay. But I still
right.
say, I'm telling women now, like this is my newest thing, that if people ask you why you're not married to your husband and you don't feel right saying he's gay, you can just say it's because my husband likes to have sex with men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to call
yeah.
it a label. Right?
Right. Right. Right, exactly. You're not labeling him. He might be bi, he might be gay, whatever. This is his choice, and you choose not to be with that.
Right, because
right.
I just feel that, you know, I wouldn't want a husband who wants to have sex with a man, whether it's a compulsion from when he's a child or whether he's getting back from being bullied or being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just too much baggage for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And like you say, you didn't sign up for this. When you got involved
right.
in a relationship, it wasn't with that as part of the understanding, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Yep. And I think this is different than so many things that come up in relationships between people that need some work after they get married. You know, this really goes to very much a core part of why they're married in the first place. This is different than finding out that somebody has a spending habit that's gotten them into some financial trouble.
Uh-huh.
You know, and yes, you may not have signed up for that, but I think that's a different level than what this issue is. Would you agree with that?
Theoretically, will this issue with this man ever change?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I don't think it will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you haven't seen him change, have you?
Well, but you said he's not gay.
Oh, now, who are we talking about now? I think there's a difference between marrying somebody who you find out is gay versus marrying somebody who later you find out has a spending habit that's getting them into some.
I was talking about when you were talking about the guy who had a, because he was, when he was little, was, you know, he was molested, and when he became older, he wanted to. Did I misunderstand that?
Yeah, all I was saying was one of my clients who was molested when he was a child questioned whether or not that was at the root of him being gay.
But he knew he was gay then.
But he really was gay, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying he wasn't gay.
No, he was.
Oh, okay, well, I definitely feel that, you know, a lot of times, like you're saying, I don't know if you see this like I do, but sometimes you see children when they're young, and you can kind of sometimes see who you really think will be gay when they get older. because of some characteristics or tendencies? Have you ever been in that situation?
Well, I mean, I think I've noticed it. I've watched it come to fruition over time. And what I'm saying, I think sometimes it's picked up on by other people then who
exactly
sadly take advantage of that. That was my earlier
exactly
thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that, you know, they, in their own minds, they feel that this is what's happening with the child, that that child becomes an easier target for people who are looking to do bad things, like molest children.
Exactly, exactly, yep.
But they would have been gay anyway, so it wasn't that being molested made them gay, correct?
Exactly, that's exactly right. Yes, that's my point.
And that's what I tell people, but they don't want to believe me. They think that because their husbands are telling them that I'm gay because when I was younger I was molested, that that is the reason that their husbands are gay.
No. I don't believe so. No, I think we come out, you know, we're born that way. And it's not about how we're socialized. What the socialization will do is either help us to adjust to who we are, straight or gay, and integrate that with our personalities as they develop. That's what the way we're raised affects us. But it doesn't make us straight or gay. I believe that's...
But don't you think that influence from society... can't change your sexuality, but it can make you start to question your sexuality, which is why a lot of these men get married.
Well, I think...
you know, they're gay men who feel that, you know, they're doing the right thing now by getting married. They can perform as a heterosexual man when they're younger as far as sexually, that even if they don't love it, you know, they're just doing it, and that's part of being married.
Well, I was... you know, I mean, I look back on myself, and I wouldn't say I was in love with the idea of being in love or being married, but I was certainly enamored with being in love and being married, and I wanted to experience that because other people around me were. And, you know, that's the normal course of what one sees, and that's what gives the praise and appreciation in this world. And I mean, I couldn't escape the fact that I was gay, and there was something in me that just said, "You can't fake this for any reason." But that took a lot of courage to be true to myself that way. I think a lot of people, they're so pressured and they have no other options that they see.
Exactly.
They talk themselves into doing. To getting married because they think it's the right thing to do.
And they really do. And I tell a lot of, you know, women that you can't, there's not ill intent that these guys went into these marriages with. It wasn't that they were trying to trip you up or trick you. I mean, in their minds, they really did believe they could be a husband to you and they could love you like a husband. Love your family like a straight husband would love his family, not realizing that it takes a lot more than just producing a child to have a marriage.
Right, exactly. Yep.
And they're able to pull it off for a while. You know, that's
for
the whole
while,
thing.
For a while, but I'll tell you what, as they come towards 40, it becomes harder and harder when men begin to reach midlife. That's when there's this turn inward, and they begin to question what they're doing with the remainder of their days, because all of a sudden we're beginning to reach the point where now it's the other side of the halfway mark. We can at least see it from here. And it becomes more pressure to have what is going to be truly satisfying. So many men who manage to kind of corral themselves earlier on don't as they reach midlife. They start acting out.
Do you think that when they're younger that they are having a sexual attraction for their wives when they're in their 20s?
So what I have had reported to me is that sex was new and there was some physical pleasure in it. It was, quote, okay, but their heart wasn't really into it. And then they, later on, they step out and they're with a man, and all of a sudden, as one of my clients said, I began to feel alive for the very first time in a way I never had with my wife. Right. Because heretofore, they had been mismatched. And now all of a sudden, he discovered who he, didn't discover who he was, but he got to begin to embrace who he was with another man.
What about men, Brian? Maybe you can explain this to me. Who stay in their marriages, who go under the pretense of being a straight man, but they have indiscriminate sex with strangers just so they don't have to be involved in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And they really don't identify themselves as being gay. It's just that they get sexual pleasure out of having a gay encounter.
Yeah. So what are you asking me to explain? I'm sorry, I missed the
question. Is that a matter of, like, just compartmentalizing? Is it denial of who you are?
I think it's compartmentalizing. I think it's a lot of internalized homophobia. The assumption is that all gay men are a certain way. I'm not that way. I don't have these stereotyped features, characteristics, don't behave in those ways. I just like to have sex with men, so therefore I couldn't be gay. I don't
like kissing. I'm not going to hold somebody's hand. I'm not going to fall in love with them, right?
Right. That's what
it's
they
just
say.
It's a sexual act.
That, right, exactly. A lot of the not wanting to fall in love, not wanting any tenderness, is really blocking part of who they are so that they can continue to try to perceive themselves as being straight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think they ever change?
In some cultures, it's sort of interesting, in some cultures, and if one man is the one who is inserting into the other, then he's not gay. But if one is the receiving person, they are gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in one particular culture I can think of, that's the way it is understood. You know, it's a social kind of construct there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. And yet,
I think that because of so many cultural taboos, that this is one of the big problems that I find. I don't know about you, if you're getting men who are like this, but I have a lot of men from other countries, from India especially, from the Middle East, and from other third world nations, you know, in Africa, where being gay is just not an acceptable thing.
Right.
So
right.
It's a very tough life for them because there's just no way out.
Uh-huh.
And, like, for instance, I'm working with a guy now from Uganda who's, you know, his brother is gay. And, of course, they found out about it. And now the whole family's being persecuted. He's not gay, and but his brother is. So now the whole family's under pressure.
Of course. Yep.
I mean, so many sad stories.
Yeah, I'm sick
of that. People just can't let each other.
Yeah.
Right? Terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I won't get into the politics of the whole thing, but it's really dreadful.
You know, I don't know if in my lifetime there will ever be a time when you won't see discrimination with gay people. And
yeah, we've come a long ways.
Maybe in the future generations.
Yet. We're not there yet.
Well, you're younger than me, so you might see it in your lifetime, but I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But I know that I think it's a different world in some ways today. I know that my nephew, he goes to a school in New Jersey. He's in college. He's a junior. And I'm really proud of him. He's like the head of his gay fraternity there. And, you know, he's in the forefront of doing everything, you know, affiliated with the gay organizations, using whatever ones they have on campus. And he's a speaker, and he goes out, and he's only 20 years old, and he feels content with who he is. You know, he's happy with whom he is. But I think that it's just really tough for other kids to really be accepting of themselves when this is a situation, and it's based on your cultural values and norms and your family and how they're going to accept it.
That's right.
So many obstacles, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And I have dealt with young men whose families are completely rejecting, and it's so painful for them. I mean, it's beyond belief, and they're trying to accept themselves. Hey, I'd like to offer something as we begin to come to the close of tonight's show, especially in this beginning of a season that is for many people deeply spiritual. I'd like to offer four principles of spirituality, and this is for folks no matter what the religion is, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the first principle is be awake. Be awake to what's going on inside of you. Be awake to what's going on around you. Be awake to what's going on between you and others. Be awake. Number two, be thoughtful. Think about what it is you're awake to in you, around you, in between you and others. Don't just react. Think about it. Meditate on it. Be curious about it. Wonder about it. Be awake. Be thoughtful. Be reasonable. Ask yourself, am I being reasonable in my thinking? Or am I thinking in ways that reinforce unhelpful perceptions and ideas? In other words, am I assuming the worst when I just need to be maybe more just observing? So be awake, be thoughtful, be reasonable. Use the standard canons of logic. Be reasonable. And finally, number four, be thoughtful. Be responsible. Awake, thoughtful, reasonable, and finally responsible. Do the thing which is going to contribute to your wholeness and to the wholeness of all of those folks you love. So those are just four ideas, four principles of healthy spirituality to take into this season with you. And I think they can be applied no matter what our religion is or isn't.
Absolutely. They're non-denominational. These are all good thoughts for people who are going through a holiday season where they have to make some adjustments in their lives, where things have changed. They're not the same as they were in the past. This is the Christmas, present, and future, and the past you have to let go of.
Right.
And I think this is excellent advice for the women to do exactly what you're telling them to do. And expect that in the beginning it's going to be hard. There's no quick fix to this. You know, recovery for grieving takes a long time, and there's no set standard amount of anybody who can tell you, well, it's been a year or it's been 2 years. Why are you still acting like this, right?
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly. And it comes in waves. You know, grief comes in waves, and sometimes it's like the icon that's on the bottom of our computer screen. It's just a little icon down there, but something happens that makes you click on it, and all of a sudden it can fill the whole screen for a little bit. And so that's where I would say, be gentle. I go back to the first thing I said at the top of the program is be gentle with yourselves. Be kind to yourselves. Take good care of yourselves in this season.
And most of all, if you're feeling isolated and alone, reach out. Don't feel you have to do this alone, because there is a support system in place. And don't feel, well, I'm going to be bothering you, or I don't want to bother anyone with my problems. You know, support is what it's about. And I will say this in closing for tonight. You know, it's a rough day for me. As I told you, Brian, today is my son's death day. He would have been 32 years old, and I lost him when he was 23. Yeah. And, you know, when I go to the cemetery on his death day, you know, it's such a hard, hard thing. And if I had to spend the day isolated by myself, it would be so much harder. But just because I have a large, wonderful network of friends and family who are there just to say, we're thinking about you, it makes a big difference in your thinking. When you're going through troubled times, you know, being an isolationist is not the way to go. Reach out, because people want to help you through it. That's what you have, you know, friends and family, and even strangers can be your friends. Yep. You meet people on the internet, on Facebook, on all kinds of sites. You know, sometimes they can become closer with you than people that you have, you know, in your personal life.
That's
the important thing is to make connections, reach out. If you need help or support, get in touch with me at bondk@aol.com, and I have plenty of women who are willing to give this support and to help you through these troubled times. Don't feel you have to be a giant and do it yourself. That's the main message I'm trying to get across. And, Brian, I can't thank you enough for always being there for all of us. For women who are looking for a therapist, or if you have a husband who needs a therapist, Brian works with our straight wives. He works with gay husbands and getting things on track and moving. I mean, he's not going to work with you to just stay where you are if you're not happy. He's going to help you move ahead one way or the other. But they can reach you through your website, which you can give them the email address.
Okay, website is www.drbrianhooper.com.
And if you have any trouble finding that, just let me know and I'll be happy to send you the link. And you can get in touch with Brian because he does counseling not only in person but also through Skype. He also does phone counseling.
Exactly, yep, sure do.
So you're available to anyone, anywhere. So if you just want to feel better about life, this is a man who can do it for you, because I always feel so much better when we're done the conversation, Brian.
Oh,
it gives me a lot to think about.
Thank
it's
you.
Always comforting knowing that you're there and that you're so supportive
you are an
of us.
You are an inspiration to all of us, Bonnie, so thank
you.
Oh,
thank you, Brian. I try to shed
really
some light in a dark world, right?
You do
make
that.
Make it make
you
sense.
Well. Yep.
All right, so we'll say goodnight for the night. Everybody, happy week. It'll be hopefully a better week, and if you need me, you know how to find me. Brian, we'll be spending the new year together, hopefully, as it's
absolutely.
Coming in sometime around there.
Absolutely, my dear.
Or by the end of the month, and we'll be talking to you soon.
I'm
so on behalf of both Brian and I, we're sending all of our love to you. And we're going to fade out with a song by the Beatles called Blackbird. Enjoy the week and keep in touch. Bye-bye now.
Good night.
I love you, Brian. Good
love
night.
You too, Bonnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.